Father, we thank you so much for the blood of Jesus. How precious it is. How much of a gift it is in our life. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did and what it represents for us, Lord. It's a covering. It is a covering. It is a covering, just like you would put on a sweater, you put on the blood of Jesus, because it is a covering from sickness. It is a covering from death, just like the Israelites put it on the doorpost when the plague went by. They were protected because the blood of the Lamb was on their door. It is a covering from disease. It is a covering from that which comes against you to kill, steal, and destroy. The blood of Jesus is a covering. Father, we just put it on right now. Father, we just declare it from head to toe over our lives, over our bodies, over our emotions, Father, because the blood is over that which we feel. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for all that you are and all that you're getting ready to do in this place, even now. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here as we have worshiped, as we have lifted up your name. You are welcome in this place. Come and do what it is you do. This is your stage. These are your words. This is your Bible study. This is yours. And minister to the individual, unique places of these women's hearts, Father, because you love us uniquely, not individually, but uniquely, love. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you that you meet us right where our pain is, Father. You touch that brokenness in us, Father, and you come and heal it. Speak according to your will and your word here tonight, Father. We surrender it to you. Father, that you would open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, our mind to comprehend and understand it, our hearts to receive that which you are speaking tonight to the church, Lord. Help us to have open eyes, Lord. Just like the blind man said in week one, I want to see. I want to see. I want to see the broken places in me. I want to see the blind places in me that keep coming up and trying to cloud my judgment and try to keep me from going to the place that God has for me. I want to see, Father, so that I can take the blinders off and see where I'm going and I can be led by your love. Thank you for that. That is our cry, Father. That is our prayer here tonight, that the blinders would come off in the area of anger tonight. Father, as we speak on this emotion, Father, it's a big one, Lord. I pray that you would just take the blinders off in our own lives so that we can see exactly what it is you are wanting to do in us, Father. Because the work begins in us as we change, Father. Then that which comes out of us and surrounds us begins to change, Father. So transform us, Father. Transform our hearts. Thank you, Father, that we position our hearts in reverence and we position our hearts in humility towards you. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, Carly. That was beautiful. I love the song, Holy Spirit, because it's exactly the cry of my heart for Bible study. Just that his presence would be manifest in this place, because it is not me that can do this, but it is him who does it through me. And I need his presence so much here tonight. We have talked so far about blinded by the blind, which means we have talked about an overview of what it means to actually be blinded by the blind. I won't recap it too much, but we've talked about that. Then we went on to blinded by fear. Oh, that was a big one, right? Just kind of awakened. Who here experienced some awakening in the area of fear this last week and kind of put some of this into practice? Amen? Good. Glad I see no hands. Thank you, one person. Yay for you. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about exposing the blindness of anger. Blinded by anger. It might be out of order in your book. Some of them were. So if you just flip-flop them, you'll find it eventually. So we're going to be, tonight you're going to really wish that you had those old-fashioned tabs in your Bible. Who remembers those? Man, when I was little, I wanted Bible tabs. I wanted them so bad because in Sunday school, you got a piece of candy if you could, you know, when they said, turn to Matthew 15, and you got there the fastest, you get a piece of candy. Well, I didn't have any Bible tabs. But tonight you're going to really wish you had Bible tabs because we're going to be moving around quite a bit. So lick your fingers, get yourself ready. I have no candy. But next week I will have some candy.
There you go.
And I'll throw it out here for y'all. I love it.
I have one.
I love you have tabs?
I have one on one of Melanie's old Bible.
I love that. Tabs are the best. They work. Well, I'll bring candy next week so I can kind of throw it out there to whoever says amen first. So we're going to be going between two major stories tonight. When the Lord wrote this, he had it just on one story, and then I went back and he added this whole other element to it. And so I'm kind of excited to share it with you because I always like it when he refreshes something, you know? It means that he's speaking specifically to whoever is here tonight that needs to hear it. So I'm excited about that. I want to start with a story, and it's actually a real life true story. When I take my son to elementary school in the morning, we are in the carpool line. Woo, to carpool. So early in the morning, as you approach his school, there are three actual lanes that each car pulls into as it pulls up to the school. Now, these three lanes eventually have to merge into one lane to drop your kid off at school. So most mornings, I never fret. I just, you know, it is what it is. You just take your turn. You let people go. Then you go. Then someone else goes. But most of the time, people are pretty friendly. And as you approach the three lanes and they go into one, the first car goes and the second car and the third car. And usually that's the way it goes. We don't have four cars that go and then four cars here. It's one at a time. So here I was waiting in the line. I'm there, you know, just, oh, I probably just put on the armor of God with Samuel, my son, and I probably just prayed for the school and the blood of Jesus over that school and over the classroom and bless the kids that are here today. You know how it is in the morning. You just are decreeing and declaring, and I pull up and it's my turn to go into the number one line. And so this car goes, and then it was my turn. Well, here I go, I'm ready to go, and this car goes, but all of a sudden this car attaches to the back of that car and goes right in front of me and drops their little kid off. And I sat there just in awe that this person did this. Just in awe, guys. Ah! Ah! And I sat there, and as I sat there getting ready to go, because it was my turn, I was mad. I was angry. I could not believe that this person had done this. Doesn't he know the 1-1-1 rule? How dare he make it 1-1-2? I mean, come on. I was so angry. And as I began to sit there in my anger and frustration, you know, all I wanted to do was just ram the back of his Range Rover. Yeah, it was yeah, that's all I wanted to do. I was like, hey, pretty car, get a piece of my minivan. I was upset. And as I sat there, I thought, where is this emotion coming from? I must have deep wounds that need to be discovered. You know? Here I'm going all inside, like I just have problems. I need to fix something. And I thought, God, this starts somewhere. Where is this? Can you kind of give me some information here? Because I need to know, why is this emotion here? Why am I so angry right now? The Bible says, be angry, but sin not, does it not? So what is the difference between right anger and sinful anger? Has anyone ever wondered that in your life? Because if it says to be angry but sin not, I want to know, is it okay for me to be angry at this car right now? And where's the line that I'm going into anger and sinning? Because I want to know, because Jesus was angry at times, come on, but he never sinned. So there is a line that the Lord wants to teach me about having anger but not allowing it to pursue into sin. And I wanted to have understanding on what that actually means. So let's dig a little deeper tonight. Come on. Anger has been an issue since the beginning of time. It has. And the effects of anger trickle down to so many people. Not only do they affect you directly, but it affects the people around you. For instance, we see that anger at the beginning of time was started by Cain. Now, it affected Cain and it affected Abel, but it also affected Adam and Eve. Why? Because anger made their two sons lost. They had no more sons after that. Abel was killed by Cain and Cain fled. So anger not only devastated the boys' lives, but it devastated the parents' lives. So it trickles around. It has like a domino effect. So what can I learn from this event? Why do people shove? Why do people curse and kill others? I mean, we're talking angry people, ladies. Angry people can turn into things that you would never, think possible. Why do you read stories of someone driving down the highway and pulling out a gun and shooting someone? I mean, you think, like, what in the world is going through their head that they would take a life over someone passing them up and them not liking it? Where does this originate in our hearts? Why do we do this? I want to get to the root tonight of this so I have understanding in my own life of how to deal with this emotion. If we look at back at the beginning of time where anger is first introduced into this world, we discover some amazing truths. That's why I love the B-I-B-L-E, because it has so much in it for us to learn and apply today, 2018. Amen? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 4. The beginning of the Bible, the first chapter of the Bible. If you can't find that, then don't get a Bible. Sorry. But it's the first chapter. It's the first book of the Bible. There's no hope for you if you can't find Genesis. I'm just kidding. There's still hope for you. Still get a Bible. But turn to Genesis chapter 4. My pages are literally falling off this page. This Bible's falling apart. Chapter 4, and we're going to read the first 12 verses. Are you ready? Yeah. Who gets a piece of candy?
Amen.
Oh, Emily's first. Sorry, Emily, I don't have one right now. Okay. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Ooh. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" That's a famous line right there. Verse 10, the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." We're going to stop there. Now, I want to do a little background so you have some information on Cain. So you don't, because most people say Cain, and the first thing you think is angry man that committed the first murder, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to do a little background information on, not too much, but just a little bit, so you have an idea of maybe why Cain is a little bit the way he is. Okay, are you ready for that? Okay, so we know, first of all, that Cain was Eve's firstborn son. There is no mention of a child before Cain. So we assume that Cain was Eve's firstborn son. Now, because he was the firstborn son, at that time, culturally and just known, the firstborn son had a sense of security and entitlement. Come on. So Cain, being the firstborn son, had a sense of entitlement to what was his. The blessing was his. The offer, everything good was going to come to him because he was the firstborn son, right? He had security in the title firstborn. And then it says in verse 2, later she gave birth to his brother Abel. He was the second son. So you have Cain in the order of birth, very important. Cain was the firstborn son. He had entitlement. He had security in being that firstborn son. Abel came later. Verse 3 and 4 says, why did God look with favor on Abel and not Cain's offering? It tells us specifically that God looked with favor on Abel's offering and not Cain's offering. Now, I want to look at that real quickly. What was wrong with Cain's offering? What was wrong with it? I mean, he worked the ground. That was his job, right? The Bible says that. Let's look at that real quickly so you can refresh your mind. Let's turn to verse 3 and 4. It says specifically, Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain, his offering, he did not look with favor. So I thought, what was wrong with Cain's offering? He worked the field. Whatever you work, you would think that that's what you bring, right? Right? Your best offering? Well, this is what I work. I'm going to bring my best offering to Jesus. This is what I believe. He worked the soil. So why was it not accepted? Has anyone else ever pondered that? Why was it not accepted? Let's look in Hebrews for a minute. Turn to Hebrews 11:4. Can you do that for me? You get a candy next week if you can go there first. Hebrews is in the New Testament, towards the very end of the New Testament, after a couple of the epistles. Amen. Emily's on it tonight. She must have tabs. Oh, it's called a phone. It's called Google.
It's called Holy Bible.
That's cheating. That's worse than tabs.
It is worse than tabs, but it works.
All right. Hebrews 11:4 says, "So by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain." I want you to underline, highlight, emoji, whatever you want to do because you have your phone. By faith. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain. Now, what does that tell us? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I know that's an old King James version. That might be hard. But faith comes by listening to the spoken, written word of God. Okay? That's how faith comes. So both of these boys must have heard from God what to bring as an offering. If Abel offered it as faith, then he knows that by faith it comes from hearing. So they must have heard from God just exactly what it is they were called to bring to God as an offering. So they bring an offering, and Cain didn't do that. Cain decided to bring what he thought was best. Come on. His works. Now, how many times do us Christians do that? Now, don't be thinking of your friend who, oh, my friend does that. I see my friend all the time, just works all the time. You know, come on, we got to look at ourselves here because we do it all the time. Well, I'm going to bring what I do best to God as opposed to doing what he has said for us to bring, the spoken word of God. And in verse 5, it tells us specifically that God did not accept that offering, and Cain was very angry and his face downcast. Now, I want to stop here and just ask a question real quick. Are we bringing him what he wants, or are we bringing him that which we think is best? I just want you to let that just sink in, because I think our initial instinct is to say, well, I bring him what he wants. But really think about it for a minute. Are we bringing him what he has asked of us, or are we bringing him what we think is best? If anger is the result of a situation, look what was brought. Your will or his? I feel like that is just information right there, golden nugget for somebody. If anger is the result of what was brought, okay, look at what was brought, your will or his will. So, let's go back for a minute. Anger starts with a form of disobedience, right? Because Cain decided to bring what he wanted to bring. That was disobedience. He didn't bring what God specifically said to bring. So anger starts with a form of disobedience, which came from a place of I know what's best. And when you say, I know what's best, what does that come from? It starts with a P. Pride. Pride. When you say, I've got it. I'm going to take care of it. It's all good, God. My hands are worked in it. I know what's best. And you do that. That is pride. That is a spirit of pride that's coming up in you. And all of a sudden, you are disobeying in your pride, and anger is the result of not being or doing the best thing for your life. If God gives you a specific thing and says, this is what's best for you, this is what I have for you, and you say, I know what's best, I'm going to do what's best for me, and then all of a sudden life doesn't go exactly the way you thought it would, that anger results. Come on, you've been there. I'm frustrated. Things are just not going the way I want. Things are not going the way I thought they should go. Man, you can start to get angry. Come on, angry. Just get angry. You know, and when we throw our fist back at God and say, why? Why? What is God telling us in this story? I know you feel this way, but trust me right now. I know you feel this way, but trust me right now. Trust me right now, not your emotions, so sin won't overtake you. Now, let's go turn to Numbers 20. I want to talk about this for just a minute. We're going to see it from a different angle. Numbers 20. This is why I love the Bible, because God is so good. You know, there are two types of anger. So we're going to, the first one we just looked at, which is anger that arises from our own choices and decisions, and the result of it, we get angry, right? Then we have anger that comes at us from opposition or things that come up against us, right, that arise anger in us, right? Okay, so we're going to go there. So let's turn to Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 13. I'm going to read it real quickly. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh. Then Miriam died and was buried. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, if only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. I mean, that's major to say that. I mean, goodness, that is major to say that. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert, that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. What did God tell him to do? Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will pour out water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses, look at verse 9, took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebels. He sounds like he's angry. Must we bring you water out of this rock? Verse 11, then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Now, what did God tell him to do? Speak to the rock. But he chose to strike the rock, not once, but twice. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them, which happened to be what? The promised land. This was the journey. This was supposed to be an 11-day journey that took 40 years. Okay? Moses was supposed to go into this promised land that had milk and honey, which I always think of a giant latte. I say the promised land is a giant latte. That's all it is. It's a giant latte, which is fabulous because I love coffee. So here we go. So God tells him specifically to do something, and Moses does the exact opposite. Moses got himself into a similar situation here as well. God told him to do this, and he decided to do what he wanted to do, and he missed the promised land. He missed the best that God had for a man. And you just feel bad for Moses because he just put up with so much stuff. I mean, he put up with the plagues. He put up with the Israelites grumbling and complaining. I mean, it's like, man, Lord, give them a little grace, you know? I mean, it's just so sad because, you know, he really put up with a bunch of stuff, but here his anger overtook him, and he thought, my way is better than what God's spoken truth was for the situation. In this specific story, anger was driven by what surrounded Moses. That which complains against you or is in opposition in your life. This is the other way that anger comes and surfaces in our life. When people oppose you, come at you, or situations come against you, anger comes up in your life, okay? That can drive some of us crazy. Most of the anger we deal with has to do with opposition in our life. Things that you hear or see going on around you, that is the majority of the anger that we deal with. Now, the other anger is true. You know, that happens a lot too, the stuff that comes up from within us out of disobedience and frustration and not doing the right thing, and then we get angry about situations. But most of the time, we deal with this kind of anger. How in the world should we deal with this? What is God trying to show me? We allow our circumstances to affect us emotionally. Why? Because we are emotional people. It's okay. I hate when people say, I'm so emotional, I need to stop. I'm like, you were born to be emotional. God gave you emotions. Express them. It's healthy. It's when you suppress your emotions that psychiatrists say there's something really bad going on in her life. You need to watch her. It's when you suppress those things that it's not healthy. You need to express your emotions. When you feel it, express it. Allow those things to be. It's okay to be an emotional person, because feelings and having feelings is not the sin. It's not what gets you into trouble. It is how you react to your feelings that can eventually keep you from entering into the promises that God has in store for you. Come on, preaching good. Now, let's look back. Let's look down here. Back to Genesis. God told Cain specifically, sin, he says sin. So this is anger sin. Sin is lurking at your back door. Run from it, or it will overtake you. What is God telling us in this? What is he telling him? He's saying right there in that moment, he says, dude, you made a bad choice. You know what? You didn't listen to what I had to say. But sin, he says, is right there at your back door, and it's going to overtake you if you allow it to. So this is a big clue in what is anger sin-filled as opposed to anger emotional. Sin is at your back door. Sin is there. What is God telling us here? He's saying, I know that you feel this way right now. I know that you're feeling this way. I know you're dealing with this emotion, and I know you think things are unfair, but you've got to trust me right now in this moment. You got to trust me right now that I'm going to take care of the issue that is happening here. Come on, I'm going to take care of what is happening in your life. I'm going to take care of that which opposes you. I'm going to take care of what you don't see as fit. Trust me right now. Don't let sin overtake your trust for me. Don't let it happen. Back to Numbers. I told you that's why we're going to go back and forth. Just kind of keep your finger there. It says in verse 12, specifically, 2012. It says, but the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not what? Believe. Trust, believe. Say it again. What did God tell him? Because you did not trust, believe in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites. You will not bring this community into the land I give you. Wow. You mean that not trusting God in certain situations can keep us from receiving his fullness for our lives? Yes, I think that's what the Bible is telling us here. When we try to put things together with our own hands, when we try to make it better or do things better and just say, God, I trust that you are doing this for me and I give it to you, then we know that we're not going to miss his best for us. We know it. When emotion keeps you from receiving God's best for you, then I, Amanda, want to know how to control emotion healthy. If emotion is what, or reaction to emotion, I want to put it that way. If reaction to emotion is what keeps me from receiving God's best, then I want to know how to control emotional reaction healthy, right? That's the number one line. How do I control emotional healthy, reaction to emotion healthy? Well, let me tell you what, we can learn it from both stories. What did we learn from Cain? Be careful of pride. Repent when you have said, I myself and I know how to do this the best. When you say, I got this, say, no, God, you got this. This is in your hands. This is yours. I trust you over that which I feel is best. I trust you in this moment. So from Cain, we learn, be careful of pride. Repent when you say, I got this. No, God, you have this. From Moses, situations that oppose you, wait and trust and do what God says to do. So your outcome and your future are his best for you. So for Moses, we learn specifically that we must wait and trust as well, knowing that God is going to take care of that which opposes and comes out at you. You know how that is. You know when you, let's say when someone just comes and attacks you for no reason, and you're like, man, this is not good. I mean, you're angry because when people attack us, that's normal. You're going to be angry on the inside. Man, this is not good. Man, I just want to punch this person, or I just want to tell them off, or I just want to, you know, whatever. I mean, all these things go in our head. But God's saying in that moment, before it turns into that sin, trust me, give it to me, know that I'm going to take care of it, because my word says that I am your defender, and I will take care of you. Trust me in this so that sin does not lurk in, and then you are the result of a product of sin, and you're a result of not being able to discover what God has for you in the future through your choice. You get it? Okay, so here we go. There's certain verses that I like to confess that I feel like, 'cause you know how I am about the Word of God. I think it's powerful and potent. It's the best medicine ever. So when I am experiencing the emotion of sin, there are a couple of verses that I have memorized that just allow me to speak out, and it really helps me in that moment. One of them is, it's a great verse and I love it. And I don't know if I wrote it down in there, but it says, better a patient man than a warrior, one who controls his anger than one who takes a city. And I feel like that's powerful because God's saying, it's in Proverbs, God's saying through that it is more powerful to control your anger than for some warrior to go take an entire city and defeat it. And we put so much emphasis on that which people conquering things and people physically conquering things, but God is saying, no, in my eyes, it is better to control yourself, your emotions, and your anger than to go and conquer an entire city. That's powerful stuff. The other verse that I love is Ephesians 4:26. Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. I think that's pretty powerful, saying that in your anger, you allow the enemy a foothold if you do not take control over it. If you not take control over your emotions and your anger, you are opening a door for the enemy to come in your life. Amen? All right, do you want to know what happened to the end of my story?
Yes.
Going back to the carpool line? You want to know what I did? Jovo. So here I am. I'm very mad. Okay? I'm angry. This person just cut me off, thinks he's all snazzy in his fancy car, and pulls right in front of me. And I'm sitting there, and I pull behind him. And my emotion is to ram him in the back of his car. That's my emotion, to put it on full speed and just, you know? But immediately, I sat there and said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who is this? Who is he that I would allow this person, I have no idea who he is, to control me, to cause me to sin? Who is this? Why would I allow somebody else's issue become my issue for the day? Why would I allow that? Why would I allow this situation to steal my joy that is in the morning, that God has given me? Who is this? You know? And so immediately I said, okay, Father, and it took some time, I bless this person. I bless this person. Bless this person. I bless him so much. It was a little bit of that at the beginning, but then it became better as I went on. And just bless him. I pray for him. or her. I didn't even see who it was. I just saw his fancy little car. And I said, I pray for them that they would prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers. I pray that you would bless them. Father, if they don't know you, they might know you. They might have had the best morning with you ever. Come on, we've been those people, right? You know, we've had the best morning with the Lord, and then we cut off the person behind us. You know, it just happens sometimes. But I just bless this person. I just pray if they don't know you, that they would have a fresh encounter of your presence, Father, and that you would be with them. And so the more I began to offer up thanksgiving and honor and praise, the more the Spirit of the Holy Spirit came and crushed my emotion of anger. And this is not to give a pat on my back. No, 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 because I've failed many times. But this is to show you that the Word of God works. Because all of a sudden, as I drove off, maybe 15 seconds, no longer was I upset, no longer was I angry, but I was in an attitude of thanksgiving for what the Lord had given me. And I am thankful that for the rest of the day, I wasn't sitting clenching my teeth. Because that's what happens if we allow that anger to take hold of our emotions, and then it wreaks havoc on us. But because I released it and said, I trust you, Jesus. I trust you. I know you've got best plans for me. I'm going to bless this person. Now I don't carry his burden all day long. I'm back to that place of, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for who you are. So in the context of the entire Bible study tonight, I just want to wrap it up by saying specifically, trust God in when people oppose you, when things come out against you, and your emotions want to wreak havoc. Say right then and there, God, I trust you. I am not going to allow this situation to steal the best that you have for me. I'm not going to get off course because of this person's issues or this person's issues. I am going to lay it down at your feet. I'm going to lay it down at your feet. Watch arrogance in your life. Don't allow yourself to say, me, myself, and I've got it figured out. And then when it doesn't go right, you get mad and angry and frustrated, and you throw your fist at the Lord. Watch that. Say, God, your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Surrender that thing so that you know you're walking in the divine plan of God. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for teaching us about anger, Father, so that we know how to act as Christians where we're in lines different places. Father, we thank you that your ways are higher and your thoughts are higher, and that you have plans for us, Father, plans to give us a future and a hope, Father. You have a destination. You have good, because your word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We're going to taste it. We're going to experience that milk and honey in our lives, Father. So thank you for teaching us how to control this emotion in our hearts, that we do not allow sin to enter in and steal what it is you have for us, Father. Thank you for your word, for it is sharper than any double-edged sword. It is amazing, and I thank you for it, and I thank you that it penetrates joint and marrow, soul and spirit, Father. We thank you so much for the power of your word. It is awesome, and you are awesome, and we lay this at your feet. Bless these women. Protect them as they go out this week. Let them be a light in darkness wherever they go. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.